I don't think we'll have Sunday school today because Wanda and Allie are at home trying to recover from the after effects of COVID shots. So sorry to those who had anticipated going, but you may find that this message today is very appropriate to those who may still have this question on their mind. Does God exist? It's interesting, we had a Bible study on Wednesday, and unfortunately Diane McKellar is not here right now. She's suffering from vertigo, so we ought to pray for her. But she asked this very important question. She came into the Bible, she said, I was just talking to a friend of mine, and how do I tell my friend that God exists? And I was, I was very curt and short with my answer. I should have spent a little bit more time at it. I said, go outside and look around you. That should give you the answer right away. I know that seems like a very trivial answer. Either you believe in a creator who has a purpose for his creation, or you don't. You might believe in evolution, you might believe in something else, but that's a question. And many, many have not either decided to answer it, don't like the answer they get, or have come up with the right answer. You know, Satan, he has these tools, and one of his tools is, how do I create doubt? How can I suppress the truth? How can I provide an alternative to the truth that might be acceptable? You see, one of the biggest falsehoods is that there is no creator, no intelligent architect of the universe, therefore no creator and no God. There was a book written by a gentleman by the name of Lee Strobel. I've mentioned his name before. He was a journalist from the Chicago Tribune, and he had been challenged to go and do some interviews and to prove that there was no creator, but that there was evolution. And he ended up interviewing over 100 different scientists, botanists, all kinds of professors and doctorates in universities. And he ended up writing a book. And that book was called The Case for a Creator. And I'll quote two things from his book. He says, my road to atheism was paved by science. But ironically, so was my later journey to God. Interesting, he says, science paved my way to God as well. He says, based on scientific evidence, I became convinced that there is a creator of the universe, and based on historical data, I became confident in Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. Amen. And he backed up that claim by returning from the dead. That's a quote from Lee Strobel in his book. I won't go through, I mean, his book is fascinating to read. I've read it. I think I gave one copy away to somebody. I still have a copy if somebody wants it. But there's a couple of examples in that book where he totally disproves, not he, but scientists that he had talked to who totally disprove Darwin's tree of life, that there's really no fossil record that exists to support that theory. And then he quoted Jonathan Wells, a doctorate from the University of California, who says Darwin's tree is a fake. He also quoted from a man by the name of Stanley Miller, who in 1953, he tried to create or show how life was created, and he had to do that by creating amino acid from scratch. And it was to combine different gases together that would eventually create this amino acid. The experiment didn't work. Science magazine said, too bad, doesn't work at all. And oh, by the way, had you been successful, which you weren't, You would still need to figure out how were enzymes created and how was DNA created. So, does God exist? I would imagine that everybody in this room believes that he does. And I hope he does. I hope you do. But I want to share with you an experience that I've gone through this summer, because it really helps to reinforce the knowledge and understanding of what a great creator has done and how amazing his creation really is. My sister in Sweden sent me a book. She said, I want you to read this book. I read it back. It started in June of this year. It's called Gathering Moss. Okay? Moss. Yeah, that little green stuff. Gathering Moss by Robin Kimmerer. I read it. It was fascinating. In fact, my neighbor thought I was crazy because she found me out in the parking lot picking up some moss. Okay, and scraping it and putting it into a small dish, which I started to photograph. Okay, because within moss, and I'm going to show you some photos, there are little kingdoms. Okay, so I got obsessive about this, found out that just in the Northeast alone, there are 350 different types of moss. 350. Here's four of them that I found. Actually, this is on the trail in Sutton. As you go along, I just happen to look around and say, wow, that's interesting. But, you know, when we're walking down the road and you see the green stuff down there that looks like a little carpet, you don't actually pay much attention to it, do you? So I looked at this stuff and then I said, well, as I've said before, I used to be a photographer, and I have a lens that's called a macro lens that is able to expand a photograph by almost 8 to 10 times the normal amount. So those moss that you see there, when you start expanding them, look like this. Isn't that interesting? They're like these little kingdoms all by themselves. Those little mushrooms down there on the left-hand side are no bigger than a thumbnail. And they're all embedded in all these moss. Some of this moss is, well, look at these little things that are sticking up. You think those are pretty cool? Wait till you look at this. You get down even closer. It's just so beautiful. Just give me a break here. How could you think this all happened by accident? It all plugs in, works together. It's all intricately designed to work. And the variety is amazing. Okay. So that's pretty cool. But this woman who wrote this book, she was an evolutionist. She thought a lot of this stuff came about over time. But then she writes a paragraph, actually more than a paragraph, almost a whole chapter, on a creature that exists inside moss called water bears. Anybody ever heard of a water bear? You have, okay? They're also called moss piglets. Right? Does that make sense to you? You want to know what they look like? They look like this. Okay? All right? This is a water bear or a moss piglet. All right? It is 0.1 of a millimeter. You cannot see it with your eyes. All right? It is so tiny that you need a microscope or a stereo microscope to actually see it. Now, the interesting thing about this moss piglet, it's an eight-legged creature, and it has moves extremely slowly. It requires a very, very thin layer of water to survive. It has eight legs, and each foot has four claws. Each foot has 4 to 6 claws. And it sucks the nutrients from the moss around it to maintain its life. But here's the interesting thing about the moss piglet that has totally baffled science. It is able to withstand extreme pressure. It's able to withstand minus 272 degrees centigrade and all the way up to 151 degrees centigrade. All right. We would never live in that environment. Scientists from Sweden's Kristianstad University actually sent some of these up into space in one of the space capsules. It's the only animal on Earth known to survive the harsh conditions of space. Incredible, right? And this is in moss all around us, okay? The other interesting thing about this thing is when it goes dormant, no water, no air, nothing, it can lie dormant for weeks, months, even years. And all it takes is a drop of water, and within minutes, it's back to life. I'd never heard of this. By the way, Robin, who wrote the book, in the end says, scientists have no idea how these moss piglets came into being or even how they survive.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord is right. So I'm going to ask the question again. Does God exist? Do you believe in creation or evolution? In Psalm 53, verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. In Romans 1, verse 20, I've quoted this recently. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. When you step outside and you look around you, there is no excuse. There is a creator, and that is God. Paul concludes they are without excuse. People like Bertrand Russell, Richard Dawkins, Norman Bethune, Carl Sagan, Stephen Hawking, all beautiful scientists, all very smart and intelligent men, but for whatever reason, they deny God's existence. What a shame. The truth is, unfortunately, it actually forces people to make a conscious decision. Do you believe that God exists or not? And if you do believe in him, then there's an amazing life ahead of you. But the unfortunate part is that those who do not believe in a great creator, and they want you to believe in evolution, what they want you to believe is that there is no evidence of God, that there is no foundation for morals or what is right or what is wrong. They want you to believe that there is no meaning or purpose in life. They want you to say, well, there is no explanation of why human beings have emotions, that we have no free will, that there is no life, eternal life, there is no future, no hope. That's what they're saying. That's what they're professing. What a waste of time. What a waste of the brains and the intelligence of these people who can explore God's creation and use science to do it and to see how he made things, but not why he made them. We'll talk about why he made them. The ultimate deception is that when we look at the fall colors around us, the magnificence, the intricacy, the complexity, the synergy of this creation was the result of a designer, a creator. And if you don't believe that, then you're believing a very big lie. Just like the water bear or the moss piglet, science has not been able to answer many, many questions. And even in the book of Job, in chapters 38 and 39, I won't go there. Just read those two chapters. There's about 40 questions in there that man has still not been able to answer about the creation. So what are the consequences of this big lie that has been offered to us, this doubt, this alternative truth that Satan wants us to believe? Well, the result is the wildlife around the world is in decline. Over 73% of monitored wildlife now is in decline. Our oceans are polluted with what's called ghost gear. This is fishing materials that have been left in the ocean. 640,000 tons of ghost gear is left in our oceans every year. Over 136,000 seals, sea lions, and whales, small whales, have died because they get tangled into this gear that has been thrown overboard by fishermen. In 2016, the Ellen MacArthur Foundation said that oceans will contain more plastic than fish by 2050. So we have wildlife in decline, our oceans are polluted, our land is polluted. Over 93%, that's huge, 93% of landfills across the globe are considered unsustainable, unsanitary, and contributing to what? Soil, air, and water pollution. That's what the big lie, or I call it the big lie, has produced. We don't believe, so we selfishly just try to absorb what is around us, what God created for us. So what is the truth? What is the truth? It's very simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Very simple. And that creation was perfect. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. That's in Genesis 1, verse 31. So we have to ask ourselves then, well, if it's that so simple, why is this truth being suppressed? Why is this alternative become so pervasive throughout mankind? Why create a doubt that God even exists? What is the hope that we are being denied by trying to force us into believing this, what I call alternative? You see, the real objective is to suppress the gospel. The real objective is to eliminate the hope from the human condition. The real objective is to say, well, there's no creator, no gospel, no savior, no Jesus Christ, no eternal life. That's what evolution is trying to tell us. And it's false. So why, then, did God create the earth and all that's in it? Oh, there's a lot of scriptures, but I'll use this one in 2 Timothy. It says, he saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the beginning of time. He gave us this hope, this eternal life, before he even created what we experience today. David writes a question, because I'm sure David thought the same thing. He said in Psalm 8, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you've set in place. So David recognizes who the great creator is, and then he asks this amazing question, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you even care for them. Why did he create this beautiful environment around us that we can enjoy? What was the reason for doing that? He had to send Jesus Christ to this earth, pay the penalty for our sins, and that answered us this: when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That is the purpose. He created this earth for his pleasure. He created us. He asks us and tells us, receive Christ. Why? So that we can become children of God. Why? So that we can be with him in glory. What an amazing plan. And that's why, that is why there is this huge force trying to get us to deny who the Creator is. Because the moment you agree that there is a great Creator, then get to know him. Get to know him. God's plan says that in Revelation 21, and I'm going to read just the first few verses of it because I think it'll help here. He says, we have the earth and that we're in today. Unfortunately, as I've just read, we've been doing a great job at bringing it into decay and devastation. And we've done that because of unbelief and because of being attacked by Satan and the doubts that he likes to create. But Jesus Christ gives us this promise in Revelation 21. He says, then I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. It's incredible. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Write this down. And then he says, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Oof, what a tremendous, tremendous future to look forward to. But I'm going to ask a question. How long will a person, or can a person, continue to ignore God? How long can you do that? There are many people around us, whether it's in our schools, in our businesses, in our homes, in our community, who are just quite happy to say, well, I'll save that decision for another time. I'll enjoy what's been created, but I'm not going to give the credit to the great Creator. That's, I find, very disconcerting. So our mission is to help people, and we can ask them a very interesting question. And it's the perfect time to the year to do it. That question, especially when we see all the fall colors around us and everything else is, and you see somebody, how did this creation come about? Is there a great Creator? And just wait for the answer. And regardless of the answer they give you, this is your opportunity, my opportunity to explain, yes, there is a great Creator. And if you're not a believer today, then here's your opportunity. Ask him to reveal to you who he is and what he has made. Ask God to open your mind, open your eyes, open your ears, open your understanding, open your heart and mind to see that he is the great creator and that he is the God of this world. He is the God that will give and out of grace provide eternal life. Have that opportunity to go to somebody. If you are yourself not already convinced, and just let yourself be amazed and be put into awe of what God has created. Because there's a liar out there. And who's the liar? It says it's whoever denies that Christ is Jesus Christ. What you're denying is the great creator. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You can receive Christ. And when you've received Christ and you acknowledge that God is the creator of all that is around us, then you can go and say, as David wrote, or as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 104, "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small." Even the moss piglet, okay, was created, all right, by God and recognized by the psalmist. As we read earlier in Romans, you know, the creation groans. We groan to see, we're groaning as we watch the destruction of our planet. We would groan as we see the destruction of our society and countries around us. But we are part of a new creation, receiving Christ. We are given this new hope. It's not a new hope. This hope, as I read in Scripture earlier, was since the beginning of time. The gospel is we are part of the new heaven and the new earth, made possible thanks to the grace of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Just as unbelievers are without excuse, we are not without hope. What a magnificent, you know, we have this adventurous future ahead of us. I mean, maybe I'm a little different, but I enjoy exploring what nature is around me, whether it's a flower, a tree, or, you know, using a macro lens on a camera to look at moss or whatever else. Nature is incredible if you investigate it and see how it all comes together. And the new heaven and the new earth, we're going to be able to explore that and enjoy that. That is just so incredible what's waiting for us. But let's enjoy what we've been given and created now and use that creation as the segue into helping others recognize that there is a great creator. What an adventurous future we have ahead of us. Let's share this hope and help others to know there is a great creator and a savior. I just want to summarize our hope. It's in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. "But when the likeness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which we receive upon our repentance, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs and inheritors of the new heaven and the new earth, and that creation that we can look forward to as well as experience the one we have today, that we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life." What an amazing hope and future and presence that we are given. Great God, Father in heaven, You are the great creator. Why would we doubt when we see it all around us each and every day? Help us to help others to see what you have created. That there are just false theories, there are false hopes, there's in fact in some cases no hope if we do not understand that you as great creator have created each and every one of us, regardless of our pasts, that you created each and every one of us for a purpose, that there is an abundant life for now and for the future. Great God, great creator, help us to see your creation in more detail. Help us to appreciate what you have done. Help us to enjoy your creation and to help others and make others aware of who you are, Lord Jesus, and what you have done. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.